So I'd like you to read together with me Galatians chapter 4, verses 26 through 28. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. For it is written, Rejoice, thou barren that bearest not. Break forth and cry, thou that travailest not. For the desolate hath many more children than she that hath an husband. Now we, brethren, as Isaac, are children of promise. Amen. Today we're looking at the fact that the church is as a mother. And as I was considering the series that I was preaching, I just finished the about the Apostles' Creed, and we're preparing to go into the Sermon on the Mount, but did a little differently than you might have heard it in the past. I was like, what should I put there? And then when I saw that it was Mother's Day too, I was considering the truth that how the church is like a mother. The idea that the church is a mother is very old. In fact, St. Cyprian, 3rd century bishop, famously said, no one can have God as a father who does not have the church as mother. There are a lot of people who say, I don't need the church. I don't need the church. And as far as an organized body, you're right. You don't need to be part of an organized church. But here's the thing. When we accept Jesus Christ, we are come in and become part of his body. So that's kind of like saying, I want to be a part of something, but not be part of it. You know, I want to be an American, but I don't want to live in America. I don't want to have membership, and I didn't make any commitments, but I want to call myself an American. How many think that's going to work? No, it's not going to. You've got to have at least some connection somehow. And so when we come into the body of Christ, we are part of this church. And though many people think, like when we talk about Catholic in the Apostles' Creed, when you think the church as mother, a lot of people think the Roman Catholic Church, because they famously say, the church is your mother. But actually, throughout the early church and throughout the Middle Ages, the idea of church as mother is found repeatedly. Even John Calvin, who was absolutely not a fan of the Roman Catholic Church, famously used and quoted this in his Institutes. The fact that the church is as a mother to us. In fact, today's message I'm going to preach is taken from this scripture we're going to read, and it's actually a message adapted from, if Charles Spurgeon heard me preach it, he'd say that wasn't my sermon, I'm sure. But from Charles Spurgeon from 1860. And believe me, he was no fan of the Catholic Church either. Well, we see this scripture. It says, for the generations born in exile will return and say, we need more room here, it's crowded here. Then you will think to yourself, who has given us all these descendants? For my children were killed, the rest were carried away into exile. I was left alone, all alone. Where did all these people come from? Who bore these children? Who raised them for me? This passage is speaking of Jerusalem, and God is speaking of that place where his spirit was supposed to spring forth from and bring forth what would definitely come later on the day of Pentecost as the birth of the church. And this scripture we see here, this points we can make when we see about how the church is like a mother. First of all, it's a mother as it stands in relationships to its people. The church gives birth to other Christians. Most of us came into the church, with few exceptions, because another member of the church led us to Christ. There are those few examples of otherwise, where people have in foreign countries have been visited by angels or visited by a vision of Christ himself. Or like St. Paul, who was on a bound determined not to listen to the church. and Jesus coming down and saying, "Hey, buddy, now that I've got your attention," and he got part of the church. But normally, the normal path is that we come into the church because other people bring us in. And it's not just that we're brought into the church, but also the church has a responsibility. Just as parents have responsibility to take care of their children, the church has responsibility to take care of those it brings into its body. One of the things they're supposed to do is not just evangelize, bring forth children, but also to feed them, to teach them the sincere milk of the word, to help them grow those so they can get into the meat of the word, so they can grow up. Part of the mission of the church is to feed those around them, to feed those who are part of the church. One of the reasons we come together is so that we can learn from the Word of God together. God uses its people, its ministers, its teachers to feed those who are part of the church. And it's part of the labor of the church to feed those who come into the body of Christ. But it's not just feeding someone, because you can feed someone and just let them do whatever they like, but also to train them up. In other words, instruct them. And the church is called to instruct, to train people. Again, through its ministers, but also, and through its teachers, but also through each one of you. There are ways you're going to help someone else grow in Christ that I will never be able to do. Jesus talks about how we're supposed to love one another, care for one another. In the epistles, it says, if you find someone who's struggling, go to them in a spirit of meekness, helping them, you know, helping them grow up to be all they need to be. In the Bible, Paul talks about the fact that God has given forth to the church, a gift to the church, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, to train up the church to do the ministry of Christ. If we look at that scripture, ultimately, it's the church that does the ministry. Not the apostles, not the apostles, not the prophets, not the evangelists, not the pastors or the teachers. Yes, as part of the body of Christ, we have work to do. But ultimately, the job of those ministries is to help you become all you can be to do the ministry God has called you to do. Unfortunately, in our church and our culture today, when we think ministry, we think of what I'm doing. You're up there preaching or you're teaching a Sunday school class. But let me tell you something. Ministry happens all the time. We saw ministry this last week. In fact, yesterday, I had a couple ladies over here and all their volunteers who helped them. Y'all did ministry this week. That was a spiritual gift. I don't know if when you put that together, it felt very spiritual. But it was a spiritual work. All of you that were helped there cleaning up and talking to other people, that was a spiritual work. And see, part of what we do is to train, to help each other so we can do all that God calls us to do. Also, sometimes how we are trained in the church is not just by the good examples, but also sometimes by the bad examples. There have been a number of pastors who have done things in my life, and I've watched them, and so I've said to myself, I never want to be like that. And they had a sincere heart. They were just sincerely wrong about some areas in their life. And what? God used that to train me. Sometimes God uses the people in the church to train us because either we have an issue and God causes it to be revealed when two people clash? Sometimes you may be perfectly right, but you're too quick to say you're perfectly right. And when somebody says something about it in your church, all of a sudden people clash and you have friction. But also there's a scripture that says iron sharpens iron. Sometimes the people that aggravate you in the church are there to help you grow. God's trying to use you to train you. Now, sometimes there are real issues in the church. There are things that need to be dealt with or things that aren't being dealt with. And you have to sometimes say, you know what? We love you in the Lord, but we can't stick around. But there are a lot of things that happen in the church. The fact is, God's trying to train us that we need to let go of this thing about control. We need to be willing to say, and as a pastor, I've got to be willing to say, ultimately, it's not my church. It's Jesus' church. It's your church. So if the church council decides next month that we're going to paint the sanctuary neon pink, I'm going to wear shades and preach just like I always do. The reason I'm going to get shades is because I'm afraid I'm going to migraine from the brightness of it. But at the end of the day, the color of the carpet, the walls, it doesn't matter. Even if I may strongly think that hot pink is not the color for the inside of the church. Please, someone say amen to that. Okay. He's got a concern there, Dennis. We might have a hot pink church. But when we have these disagreements, it's an opportunity for us to be trained to grow up. I need to get going or I won't finish this message today. Also, part of that is we're there to help each other, nurse each other when we are not healthy. And this isn't just physical health, though that's a part of it, but also spiritually. There are times when we struggle, and the church is there to help us. Sometimes there are two things that happen when it comes to helping other people spiritually. One is we're afraid to go to someone else. And let me tell you something, if you don't have a relationship of trust, something that you can work together about, going to them and saying, hey, you need to straighten up, is not going to work. You know, I'm just starting to build those relationships. I don't think I could come down here. Steve's going to love this, or Rick's going to love this, because he's got to move that thing around again. And I can just look and say, I don't know if your hairstyle is right for the church. You know, maybe you need to have a better smile than that. You know, first of all, military style. You know what? I'm jealous of anybody who's got hair. But you know, when you start building relationships and you have something you can trust and you see something that's going on, what does Scripture say? You go to them in a spirit of meekness and say, hey, I see you're having an issue. Can we help you with that? And sometimes the other problem is we're having the issue and we look at our brothers and sisters in Christ and say, I don't dare tell them. But the church is there to nurse each other and help each other. And if you're struggling, we need to go to one another and say, I need help. Yes, you need to be wise in who you go to. You know, don't share your most intimate secrets with the town gossip, even if they are part of your church. But find someone who's mature who can help you, because that's what we're there for. We're there to bring forth spiritual children. The church is there to encourage, to feed, to train, and to nurse each other, to help. But also on the other side of it, looking at the scripture we just read, sometimes we see in the church that we are bereaved. There's a time in the church where we feel loss. Sometimes because of death. Sometimes because they have come and they've lived a full life. And sometimes because of tragedy. And things happen that don't make sense in our minds. Sometimes the church is bereaved by prodigals. We see someone who's been part of the church for a while and then they leave and go off. And you're like, will they ever be back? And the church is grieved. And I want to tell you something, the church should be. If you're not grieved, the fact that someone is walking away from the faith, you need to be. Sometimes the church is bereaved because we think we have somebody who's part of the church, and then we find out ultimately they really weren't. They were false members. They were false believers. They really never trusted Christ. But they were there with us for a little while, so we thought they were part of us, but they've left. Or we thought they were a great teacher or leader, and we find out they believe in false doctrines and things that don't line up with the Word of God. And our church should be grieved. Also, sometimes we're grieved as the church is when we have to let people go. For many of you have heard, you've had what's called the empty nest. Your kids have grown up and left, and now all of a sudden you're grieving the fact that they've gone. But what happened? You've sent them up, you've raised them, and it's time to let them go. So sometimes the church is bereaved. We see that in the scripture in Isaiah. Also, sometimes the church, we see people carried away into captivity. Sometimes because of persecution, people have to flee and get away. But also sometimes the church is held captive because of heresy, because of sin. But ultimately, God does bring freedom to those who seek Him. But in spite of the bad things that happen, here's the thing. The church has had marvelous increase. Yes, I know in America we see the church is shrinking, but around the world, the church is growing. We've gotten rich. You're like, I'm not rich. Let me tell you something. If you came here in a car today, compared to the rest of the world, you're rich. If you've got more than just one room in your house, and you have indoor plumbing, compared to the rest of the world, you're rich. If you can feel safe, and yeah, I know it's not. There are some places that around here you probably shouldn't, if you won't feel safe. But for the most part, there we feel safe, don't we? You're rich. And the danger with becoming rich throughout Scripture is we forget God. But in spite of it, the church still has seen growth. In spite of the bad things that have happened, the church has seen marvelous things happen. Today we have the privilege of having members come into the church, into this church. And this is the membership, the legal part of this church, where you can have rights to vote and help carry on the business of this church. Do you have to be a member of this church to be a part of this church family? No. We'll love you all the same. I don't care if you're a member or not. I'm going to love you the same, and I'm going to try to treat you all the same. But I think it's a privilege to commit to a church. And so this is one of the ways we see growth, is when people say, I want to commit not to a spiritual body somewhere, but a physical body here with these people, saying, let's work together for the kingdom of God. And so I am glad we have that privilege here today. I have a beautiful quote by Charles Spurgeon, which I'm not going to read because it'll take 5 minutes and I don't want to do that right now. But let's just say it this way. We have a privilege here today to be a part of something. Be a part of the Church of Jesus Christ. The Church who is as a mother to us. Our mothers aren't always perfect. But the Church of Jesus Christ, when it's all it's supposed to be, is a great place to be part of. This morning, I'd like to have our members who have joined this week to come forward, and our ones that have recently joined. In faithfulness of the early church practice, as well as the Wesleyan tradition, those wishing to receive into membership within the Global Methodist Church shall first be asked. We'll give a moment for Rick to get up here. Do you renounce the devil and his works and reject the evil power of this world? You're going to renounce them, right? Yeah. Okay. Don't laugh, guys. You got some lines next. Do you repent of your sins to turn to Jesus Christ and confess to him as Lord and Savior? If you do, say I do. Do you receive and profess the Christian faith as contained in the Holy Scriptures and the Old and New Testament? Do you accept the responsibility and resist evil, injustice, oppression by the grace and power of God? Will you obediently keep God's holy will and commandments and walk in them all the days of your life by the grace and power of God? Will you who witnessed, that's you guys, these vows, encourage these persons in the faith. Do all in your power to support them in their life in Christ.
Amen.
Do you believe in God the Father? Let's say together, all of us. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. Do you believe in Jesus Christ? Shall we all say together? I believe in Jesus Christ, his Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father and will come again to judge the living and the dead. Do you believe in the Holy Spirit? I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Will you be loyal to Christ through the Selma Christ Global Methodist Church and do all in your power to strengthen its ministries through your prayers, through your presence, your gifts, your service, your witness, as Christ's representatives in this world? If you will, say I will. It is my privilege to welcome you into membership at Selma Christ Global Methodist Church. God bless you. Come on up here. I want to shake your hands. You're not going anywhere yet. Come on. Okay. Come stand right here. And I want you to turn and face these folks. We're going to sing together the family of God. And as we do this, I want to do something a little different. I want you to come up here and shake the hands of these, your new members of this family. So if you want to stand together, and let's come together and welcome these new members into our church.
I'm so glad I'm a part of we travel this sod, for I'm part of the family of God. You will notice, they say, brother and sister round here, it's because we're a family and these folks are so near. When one has a heartache, we all share the tears and rejoice in each victory in this family so dear. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by His blood. Joy dance with Jesus as we travel this sod, for I'm part of the family of God. From the door of an orphanage to the house of the King, no longer an outcast, a new song I sing. Well, raise unto riches from the weak to the strong. I'm not worthy to be here, but praise God I belong. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by His blood. Joy dance with Jesus as we travel this sod, for I'm part of the family of God. I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by His blood. Joy dance with Jesus as we travel this song. For I'm part of the family of God. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God.
Thank you all for agreeing to be part of this church and supporting these new members. And now, we bless these ones who have come to join this church, and we stand there before them and ask you, God, to bless them and help us to stand with them in all they face in this life. God bless you. Go with God. And have a good day in Jesus.